Hi, it's Leslie.
And this is Julissa.
And welcome to the Soul Subliminal Podcast, your mindful space for holistic hoism, health, and healing.
Yeah.
And we are in the month of September. It's like, what's this, the 13th month of the year? Because
I don't even know what season it is, if we're going to be 100%.
Probably Bozeman, the dad. Yeah. You had COVID with my guy? How? When?
Yeah, there you go. We got some lovely people today sharing some space and sharing some good things. Mm-hmm. We got our good friend. I'm going to go by your Instagram name because it's just so cute, but you can tell them your real name. We got our friend Court, a.k.a. the Tater Top Bot, here. We're talking about Black folk in nature today. So welcome, my good friend.
Welcome, Courtney.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm so glad to be here. I'm so honored to be thought of.
Yeah, thanks for being so flexy, too. We know you have an upcoming road trip. Is that what's happening?
That is what's happening. I am doing the most because my soul said, hey, Court, let's go do the most. So I said, All right, let's do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's the way it goes. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Courtney, like in terms of your trajectory to Colorado and just how you've kind of been able to step into nature the way that you have in such a robust way. What has that journey looked like for you?
So I grew up in Anchorage, Alaska, but I fully subscribe to the narrative that Black people do not hike, we do not camp, we do not, do all of the nature things. Because unlike what most people think, Anchorage is actually pretty diverse. Mm-hmm. And so most of my friends were Blacky Black, and we fully subscribe to those things. Fast forward to 2016, I was going through a breakup and I was crashing on a friend's couch and he was going camping and invited me out. Black guy, like straight up from Detroit. So we went camping and it just was like, wow, this is really fucking dope. And then fast forward to 2018, a friend of mine, I was doing a road trip with a friend of mine, and I found this dope ass cabin in Utah to crash at. And he was like, no, I'm not fucking staying in no cabin in the woods. A lot of people don't do that. I'm not trying to die. These white people, I don't know them. The normal response, right? And I was just like, fuck that. Like, why don't we do this? Mm-hmm. I'm tired of that. Like, why? Says who? Whose rule was this? And like, what? I didn't agree.
Mike Myers movies. It was the Mike Myers movies. That's what.
All the horror films we've seen.
So anyways, so that's how I started the Empowered Black.
Okay. And so when kind of crafting your vision for the Unpopular Black, like, what originally were you wanting it to kind of be? And then moving forward in terms of what you want it to look like as it continues to grow and develop, what is that vision?
So I started it with the idea to organize events and experiences, for Black folks who have never really even explored outside, mm-hmm. I knew a lot of friends from Denver who grew up here, who have literally never explored the mountains, who have never gone fucking hiking outside. Right. Y'all niggas.
Hit us.
I be out here. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pointing.
Besides, so, Ballarat.
Yeah. So I started originally organizing, and then about a couple months to a year into it, sometime last year, 2019, I was like, shit, we're already doing this. There are already organizations in play that are actively organizing adventures. So why am I trying to reinvent the wheel? Why am I trying to create competition for other Black organizations and businesses, and create a division, which I think that is a problem that a lot of Black companies and organizations do. They, you know, ego-based want to create their own thing, but then it creates a division. And so I was like, what does it look like if I showcase the organizations that are already doing the things? So anyway, so I thought of, kind of actually recently, it really took form during COVID, of creating a National Black Adventure Directory. And then so I am doing a GoFundMe to help fund the creation of that, because I'm a web developer, I'm a web designer with a little bit of code, but I want it to be really robust and like really hefty, but also like super simple and super user-friendly. I don't want Black folks to get up on there and be like, I don't even know how to navigate this, never mind. Like, I want it to be so easy to figure out how to adventure. So the road trip that I'm doing is going to be a 6 to 12 month off and on road trip in different states and terrains, where I will connect with Black folks around the way who are already adventuring, to showcase like representation, as well as, you know, just, and like, as Black folks, we are so used to adventuring to, you know, other countries to find these beautiful spaces. But man, I have found places in the US that are just out of this world. Like, how is this even real?
Yeah.
And so I want to show access to that.
Yeah. I feel like what quarantine and what COVID has really granted me space to do is just really adventure in our own backyard, and like in Colorado very specifically. Like, we went tubing with you. And that was was that my first time tubing? I think like that was my first time tubing as an adult, for sure. Like, I have not been tubing since like summer Christian camp as maybe a 7 or 8 year old kid. And then beyond that, like every Colorado kid, you have to go to some outdoor something. Like, you're going to, if you're in summer public schools, you go into Ballarat in what, fifth grade? Like, if you're in Cherry Creek, you have to go up to a mountain adventure in eighth grade. Like, there is all of these things that are really required of us. And then it's like, I didn't go back. It was like, I did it in fifth grade and in eighth grade. And then my parents are very much unfamiliar with the ways of outside. Like, we never went camping as children. My dad, I think, maybe took me fishing like one time. So it was just like the outdoors in our household very specifically was like, park.
Right.
Going to the park.
Right.
Yeah. I would agree. Like, I think of, I didn't have any outdoor adventure. I went to Aurora Public School from like sixth on, and I never, Eliges, that was the most we ever went outside of like the school.
Yes.
That's it. Pull up Aurora. Right. So I think about it, but when it comes to adventuring, mountains, any of those things, it didn't happen until after I had already graduated high school and I found new friends. I was dating a white dude and he didn't even go out into the mountains like that, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it took, I can't even remember. I think it was actually like me connecting with my friend Salita, and she loves like outdoor stuff, right? And she is Black and Mexican. And we just had like a group of us, and one day we were like, let's go to Moab, right? And that was the first time I bought hiking shoes. I got them for like $40 at Cabela's on sale. And first time we put a tent up, like hammock. I did yoga on like this pretty ass rock. And like I love and like and appreciate those things. And also, I think what comes up now is timing. Like, am I making space in my schedule for that to be a part of my self-care? You know, it's a lot of different things that have stopped me or inhibited me from being able to explore more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing that I realized the other day, so I'm a scenic driver. Like, when I need to get out and like, I don't necessarily need to like feet to dirt adventure. Like, sometimes for me, just driving through the mountains or just like exploring a different small highway or road through the mountains really helps soothe my soul. And I had an epiphany the other day of how redlining has had also created a lack of access to adventure of, you know, if you grew up in Aurora, it would be a 40-minute minimum random jaunt through the woods, right? Like it's not something that like you would just be like, oh yeah, let me just take a stroll through the woods in my backyard, where you know, people who are in Lakewood or Golden or, you know, any of these like border mountain towns, it's just right in their backyard. Versus if you're in Aurora, like you're like, well, why are we going? Like, it's not just something that you just stumble into. Like you said, Jaleesa, like you have to plan it to just randomly wander through the woods. And it was epiphany for me of like, you know, when people's rebuttal of like, we don't do that. Well, because it just wasn't easy for the many, many reasons. But one of them is very much, you know,
access.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Like even this past weekend, I had the opportunity to take my partner to Vail for his birthday. And it, for one, of course, like looking around, like, where are the Black people? Where are the Black people? Where are the Black people? Of course, you don't see any, but it's just like, it made me consider how white people tend to inhabit some of the most beautiful spaces in the world because of the decades of
oppression, systematic oppression. Yeah.
A head start, oppression, utilization of labor, like all of these things. And so it was just like, we're in this beautiful space, and yet there is still no one that looks like you when you look around. And so it's like, that is, I think, another barrier that is something to break through in terms of like mentally as well, is like finding that comfortability with potentially being the only one. How do you kind of manage that in spaces, Courtney?
I mean, I've always been one to strike out and do whatever the fuck I wanted to do anyway. So like, that's not something that has held me back a lot. Mind you, it definitely is like, being that way can very much be lonely.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned a long time ago that like, I want to do the things that I want to do. And if I sit around and wait for other people, then that's not something. But that's actually one of the main reasons why I'm wanting to create the National Black Adventure Directory, is mm-hmm. So that way people can connect with other, whether it's individuals or organizations, you know, they can literally visually see like, okay, what groups are in my area? You know, who is in my area? Mm-hmm. And then also like what activities are in my area, where like, if there's a roadmap to go to the sand dunes, then at least it's a little bit easier to convince your friends to mm-hmm. go versus like, I don't know, let's figure it out.
Right.
You know? Like a roadmap is a lot easier to convince people to join you than you having to Google everything and try to map it out yourself. And so,
mm-hmm.
My goal is to help alleviate the stress and the barriers that come with adventuring while Black.
What automatically comes up for me is this like a green book for adventuring? You know?
Yeah, kind of. So, yeah. So the goal is to just create a full directory of, so the three main factors will be Black organizations nationwide that are already adventuring, organizations and businesses, Black owned organizations and businesses, a roadmap of activities, and then kind of like an inspiration board of Black people who are already adventuring. So yes, similar to the Green Book, but just based on adventure, specifics of adventure.
Very cool.
Yeah. I like this because what comes up for me as y'all were talking about, you know, I'm uncomfortable when I go into small towns. Like these are some beautiful towns in Colorado and I get extremely nervous, right? I remember I sit on a board and we were going to some like workshop in Jamestown, and they had this beautiful like setup, and I'm driving in the car with three white women and they're like, oh my gosh, how great. And I'm like low key trying to, I find myself trying to like sit back and not look out the window as much because I'm nervous. Like my body is actively nervous and I'm trying to navigate why. And then we start talking a little bit and I was like, I think there's racism up here, like active racism. Mm-hmm. And so as you're talking about this book, you know, elections coming up and right. just safety in Black bodies, brown bodies, all bodies to an extent, you know? And so like my grandfather said, he doesn't like to travel because back in the day, Black people had a curfew. And if you did not get back home by curfew, they would stick the dogs out on you. So mm-hmm. my papa was like, I don't travel. I don't go out after late. Like that is something stuck on him. And so I'm interested as to how this adventuring guidebook could assist in some of this energy we have coming up.
So okay, let me step back a little bit. It's not that I'm not afraid or I'm not nervous. Like I very actively am, my head is very actively on a swivel regularly when I'm adventuring of like, all right, where am I at? Are any of these faces have I seen before? I.e. like someone following me. I very much like headphones in, but no music. Like I want to seem unaware, but also like motherfucker, I'm watching everything. But also like I definitely feel like this is a part of my purpose to help us heal. Mm. Nature heals the soul. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to me to help guide us into these lands that were stolen. And so, yeah, so with the adventure directory and it'll be online, free access, like just whoever wants access to it. I'm actually waiting for my approval for it to be a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. But again, like just having enough information. Also like I want it to be contributor based. So, you know, whoever has gone on such and such adventure, they're able to contribute. So I want it to be half, you know, here are the facts. It's this place, this time of day is best to go. This is what's to expect. But then also like a little bit of a story of like, what is it like from, like, what was your experience there? You know, just so that way there's like a little bit of an ease of like, you know, I don't know, just from our own perspective and point of view.
It's bringing peace of mind.
Huh?
It's bringing that peace of mind. Whereas like with adventuring, like the whole point of it is like it's going into the unknown, right? And that gives it a lens and gives people a view sight into what they are about to step into before they step in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I feel so trash that we have to make ourselves feel comfortable to step into spaces that we very much have a right to be in and that we very much have a place that is rooted and established in a lot of these spaces, but we have to do this pre-work to even feel like we can access it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And like, for me, a major part of this is also like, you know, like the whole like diversity and inclusion, I don't really identify with that. Cause to me it wasn't made for us. And so I'm not asking to be included in the adventure industry that is already around. Like for me, the Unpopular Black is creating its own lane. Mm-hmm. It's creating a lane for Black people with Black people in mind, mm-hmm. contributed by Black people. Like this isn't, I'm not asking to be included. I'm not asking mm-hmm. for, you know, equality because like, bitch, y'all weren't gonna give it to us anyway. So like, we're gonna fucking take it.
You weren't. Correct. Yeah.
So
yeah.
No.
Accurate.
Yeah.
So crazy. It's so crazy. And then too, it makes me also think of like like locally speaking, some of, I feel like every community is going to have their smaller entities that really allow you to connect with nature. Like very specifically, like when I was younger, there was the James P. Beckworth, like mountaineering club, which was by this Black man. It was based out of the Five Points. He would take my brother and his friends up to the mountains. They would go hunting, they would go fishing, they would go doing all these activities. And they would just take kids from Park Hill and from Mount Bello and from the city out. And then there's also like, if you think of like the Bill Pickett Rodeo, that's like the Black cowboys and like the things that, like, that's something that I've been going to since I was 7 years old. So it's like the, or the urban farm, even like that was my first opportunity to ride a horse in like locally in the city and like play in dirt and like plant and see what agriculture looks like. So it's like, there are also these like little tiny gateways that are very accessible, probably like minutes from us, that people may not be aware of. And I think that lack of awareness is kind of what causes a lot of those organizations to falter. Like James P. Beckworth Mountaineering Club doesn't exist anymore. Oh, no. And it's like, that's a bummer. Like they had a building like right smack in the Five Points. It was up the street from Coffee at the Point, but now it just no longer exists. And so it's like some of these organizations and things have a tendency to like dwindle. Or Slippers and Sliders, like Slippers and Sliders, they're taking the kids from Park Hill up to go ski and snowboard on the weekend in the winter, like free of charge. So it's like things like that, I think, are extremely significant to make sure people are aware of, not only for their survival, but for our continued connectivity into those spaces on a micro or macro level. Like, I don't have to throw myself on the Black Diamond. I can just go with the Slippers and Sliders, get and then they can drive me back down.
Let me just go down the bunny hill.
Hello.
My safe space.
Your way, and let me go to the urban farm and touch the horse before I try to go do a whole lesson and ride on it in Castle Rock or something. Like, let me just like dip my toe in. And well, there
the thing is that, like, just having access to be able to dip your toe in, right? Because, like, so one of the big conversations right now in the outdoor industry is toxic gear culture, which is essentially, you know,
toxic gear.
Oh,
like outdoor gear.
Okay.
Yeah, so like, toxic gear culture is essentially just how these outdoor companies continue the capitalism of, like, here, you have to buy this new snowboarding jacket that's $500, and just so, you know, you're gonna buy another one next season also. So it's like, it creates that divide where people don't feel comfortable even stepping into it because, in certain activities where everything is so expensive, fucking mountain bikes. Some mountain bikes can easily get from $5,000 to $10,000 that you will have to continue repairs on, because the point of mountain biking is to be rugged as fuck.
It's to be and so that joint down.
Breaking shit.
So it's just like, it's shit like that where it also creates that divide. It's not just access of like physical access, but access of like, when, like, in going hiking, right? Like, people, like, you don't have to buy hiking boots. Honestly, for the last, I just bought my first pair of like hiking boots for summertime. Before that, because they were $250, so before that I was just using my Nikes.
Every hike a girl has ever been on has been in some Nikes, honey. Even that 14er I did, which was the worst day of my life. Never gonna
your
do
ankles
it.
Your ankles was angry, child.
My ankles, my knees, my shins, my thighs, my hips.
There are points to it, but it's also one of those that, like, if you're trying to dip your toe in, it's helpful to your neck.
I was broken.
It's just so helpful to know, like, what is important to actually buy. What can you rent? And also, like, what can you use from your own closet?
So when kind of, like, going into, like, say, for instance, if you really are taking, my first time camping was on a date. And that was when I really understood, when I was watching this young man prepare all of the items, how much preparation that actually went into camping. Like, if I had attempted to go on my own accord, I would have been ill-prepared, just as ill-prepared as I was hiking that 14er in some Nikes and a string backpack with a Chewy bar. So it's like, wow. You know, like in a plastic water bottle that I had half drank on the way up, like ill-prepared. So what are ways that people could ensure that they're stepping into these spaces with kind of like a full preparation? Is there a checklist? Where do you go when you are about to kind of adventure in ways that you haven't before?
So, I mean, Google is everything, right?
Right.
So, like when I'm trying something new, usually I'll Google it, or at this point, like now I have enough friends I can ask, but Google has always helped me begin. It's been a really good, Google and actually Pinterest. Pinterest is really good for, like, they're great for, like, checklists.
Okay.
The things you'll need. Girl, the things you need to go hiking, to go paddleboarding, da-da-da. But, so Google, do your research before you go, right? Do your research. And then one of the biggest factors that people do not ever think of is check the weather for where you're going. You know, because it could be 80 degrees in Denver. St. Mary's Glacier could easily be 60 and rainy.
That's right.
You know, so check the weather before you go, just to make sure that, like, you're comfortable. So yeah, do your research. Like, okay, so like for doing a 14er, if you would have done your research, I mean, I still have never done a 14er. And at this point, I don't plan to. I do not plan to.
Why?
For what?
Don't get me wrong. Like, don't know. A 14er is any peak over 14,000 feet. So we have.
Which. So what most people think that, like, oh, they're starting from sea level. So it's like a super huge hike. Some of them start at 11,000 feet. So, like,
baby,
it's not that much necessarily.
I was taking a few steps and I was out of breath. And
I'm telling you, it's a lot.
Nope.
Exhausted.
My ass hurts going up like a 2-degree incline on my cruiser. I'd be damned. So
yeah.
No.
Yeah. I'm not about that 14er life. Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw. I went fucking backpacking. And it was the most garbage shit. I was just like, but, like, first, like, so it was Conundrum Hot Springs, so it's, like, this Colorado fucking staple. And I just found out that it's on a permit basis. So, like, in order to even camp, you have to have a permit. And I found that out, and literally a week later, it was presented to me to be able to go. And so I thought it was super divine. And I was cursing at the ancestors on my way up. Why am I here? What is this? This garbage, girl. Hated it. Every bit of it. Every fucking bit of it. Every fucking bit of it.
Was the end worth it?
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely fucking not. Because that was the thing that, like, it was beautiful, but not 9 miles, 3,000 feet of elevation, 36-pound backpack. It wasn't worth it. It was not worth it.
36 pounds.
Yeah.
No. Do I look like a military paratrooper?
Like, I'm so glad that I did it, but bitch.
Well, do I look like a Navy SEAL? No. I am a
risk. The stupidest girl. Shit ever. The stupidest.
My daddy always says that he feels like white people be doing all this extreme shit because they don't have enough real danger in their lives. And so they make it happen by, like, free-flowing and, like, paragliding and doing all this adventure
stuff. I just be like,
have a thrill.
I mean, granted, like, I
don't know if he's wrong, girl. I don't know if he's wrong.
Oh, he ain't. He's definitely not wrong. Those are 100% facts. He saw
Free Solo. He was like, what is the point of this?
Some of them have points, though. Some of them
are absolutely. Some.
Not all. No. But I will do some motherfucking paragliding at some point, so.
Nathan NBA. I also want to paraglide.
I don't even know what that is to want to agree with y'all, so.
It's some shit in the sky. A slower version of skydiving.
Pretty much. It's nice.
I'm so grounded. I'm just, this is that yoga shit. I just want to be grounded and like,
you know, earth is.
I'm just earthly and I just want to have my earthy experience on the earth.
I just want my feet to be planted.
I'm telling you.
I love this. I appreciate this. And something I really appreciate is the construct of like this being self-care. And how it also, like, we kind of forget the self-care always has to go back to community. It's such an interconnectedness within our self-care. We think it's just by ourselves. We think we just got to figure it out day to day. But for some reason, we still sad as shit and still not connecting and ascending and growing in the ways that we see other people or we're thinking in our heads. And it's because we tend not to have that community aspect, right? And so there has to be pioneers and individuals that want to lead and open up those doors to create that access, right? We've been talking about access this whole time. And so it's really dope that you have chosen to fall into your path, fall into your abundance, you know, and show us how good it is to be outside. And especially in Colorado, like if y'all out listening somewhere else, good luck right now, right? Because the road trip doesn't start until later on this week. But like, especially in Colorado, you showed us a lot just from your stories, from inviting us to spaces. Yeah. So
I wouldn't have gone tubing, but let me tell you something, that river dragged the fuck out of us. Like, Chaz and I capsized and then it was like, bitch, and I was like, I was bleeding. I was just like, yo, this river is like this high. How is it that two grown adults
that's so
battered in this manner? Courtney was like, stand up, go to the edge. And if she had not have said that, we would have drowned. We would have drowned.
Well, no, because like when you're in it, you're like, but it's literally just like,
stand up.
but Leslie, it was super fucking fun though, right?
It was so fun. And I was so glad to go. Chaz was like, my back, my knee, but we had a great time. I was like, didn't we?
Well, I guess we did because we survived.
Was a beautiful experience.
Right. I mean, like, so there's actually really funny. And like, so anytime I take people tubing, you know, I tell them the things that they need to know, you know, water shoes.
Yes.
Like just like certain, like you fucking need to know this. But there are a lot of aspects that I just be like, they just don't have to find out. Cause if I warn them, they're not gonna go.
Absolutely.
There's a meme that's like, did you go river tubing if you didn't almost die?
No. No, you didn't.
Like, that is a part of the journey of river tubing. Of like,
I was really prepared for like some lazy river leisure, and that didn't happen. But the lazy river at the pool park is different than
lazy river on the river.
Being on the river,
you ain't at Elidge's going around now.
The river got surprised.
That was what I was like, yeah.
The river has lovely little surprises. That's like, hi boo, wake up.
Hello, that booty.
Actually,
yep.
This wasn't obviously a part of the conversation, and we only have a few minutes left, but like, I would love to also briefly talk about what I'm doing for Black Women's Retreats.
Okay, please.
That I created. So I don't know if you guys saw on Instagram, I started selling shrooms and chocolate
candy.
Started selling shrooms in chocolate form. And then I also realized, so I went on a little glamping trip with three other Black women, and four, have a very active relationship with shrooms and take them regularly. And just, you know, we've experienced how therapeutic they are, how healing they are, how heart opening and soul searching they are. And And then so I realized I don't know if you guys read the book Women Who Run with Wolves.
Is that I saw you post some shit. You were like, my form of self-care is screaming butt naked at the moon, howling butt naked at the moon on acid or some shit. And I was like, yeah. Do that.
Right. Like if that's what today's therapy includes, then that's what the fuck it's gonna be.
That's what we bit. We win. Mm-hmm.
But so the premise of Women Who Run with Wolves is an anthology book of essentially like women in our truest form. Mm-hmm. We are raw. We are matriarch. We are power in our feminine energy. And from that glamping trip, I just realized how much Black women need a sisterhood. We need nature. And shrooms, again, like shrooms as a form of therapy, of healing, mm-hmm. You know, the three of them together, I think are just really important right now. So I actually have, my first retreat is October 2nd.
Okay.
Which is actually, it only fits six of us. And so it's actually sold out. But in March or April, the next one, that will fit 14 to 20 people.
Okay.
And that'll be in Victor, Colorado. And so my shroom company is called The Sweetest Boom. And so, yeah, the focus is Black women coming to nature.
And how that's home.
Yeah, to have a good boom, to have a sweet boom amongst each other, be our blackety-black, beautiful, feminine selves. And, like, provide each other the space to know what it's like for sisterhood. A friend, one of the women that were there, the way that we had connected was through, you know, we both have super blacky black companies and have always been focused pro-black, but we've always felt a lack in sisterhood amongst black women. We haven't felt as supported as we feel like we should be amongst Black women, even though we are super pro Black women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just realized, like, I want to help provide that space. Cause I think like a lot of it is just like self-healing, and healing, you know, our feminine energy, within the constructs of Blackness.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
I love that.
And
you're so cool.
Yeah, I was like, where can people find you on the internet?
So, I'm because shrooms is still super illegal.
Right.
I'm like figuring out how to navigate that right now. The sweetest boom at gmail.com is the best and easiest way to connect.
Uh huh. You always forget, like, oh yeah.
That's I forgot illegal. They were. I was like, yeah, this sounds great. This
I love great. It. Gonna eat it.
So, yeah, I have a, so like, I sell the chocolates, and with the chocolates, there's a QR code on the bottom that takes you to a website for like instructions
how to
take the shrooms. And so on that, there's also a space for the retreat. But again, like, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to, how openly I'm gonna have that, if I'm gonna have like a member login or what that looks like.
Yes. Correct.
So, but the sweetest boom, or follow me on Tater Tot Bot, because I'll be updating that here and there.
Or at the Unpopular Black.
Oh, also follow me on the Unpopular Black. But like, I'm trying to like not have like the Unpopular Black and Sweetest Boom. Because, like, also not all Black folks are, like, ready for that. And I don't want
them. They really are not.
No, and I don't want them to feel like they are not interested in the Unpopular Black because of that. Like, mm-hmm. I want that to still be, like, separate.
Very much so. I told my homegirls, I was like, yeah, I dropped acid. My homegirl was like, you dropped acetone on the floor? Acid on your floor? You dropped acid on the floor? And I was like, no.
No, like LSD, what? Like the chemical.
We'll leave it at that.
Acid.
the psychedelic to take me into another world. That one.
Acetone. You can tell we got different kind of friends. Right. Be like, oh, you
they're like, was it good though? Was it like the pure kind?
What happened? Where'd you go this time, Jaleesa? Right. I'm so proud of you.
I'm always was like, what?
All right, before we get out of here, Courtney, give us three words that you would describe yourself as to the world.
The encourager of adventure.
Boom. That's that on that.
That's that.
Period.
Period.
Period. But thank you so much for coming, Courtney. So glad to have you. Thank you for sharing your adventurous spirit with the world. You inspire us. We are so pleased to know you and fortunate to have you in our space.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful. So grateful for again, being thought of, for being, I said a little prayer before this. And it was just like, you know how like you start a prayer and then you like, it just keeps going. You're like, damn, I'm so grateful.
I'm in the flow.
Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for knowing you two women. You guys are so phenomenal. So fucking dope.
I appreciate y'all. Oh man, this was such a great conversation. Make sure y'all are taking care of yourselves. Y'all getting y'all asses outside.
Make sure you hit that subscribe button and leaving us 5 stars because somebody left us one like a hater.
I saw that. And it was just one person out of like 75 people. And I was like, it must have been one of our exes or something, child. I don't know.
Trying to take us down.
Anyway, so with that. With that, we appreciate y'all. Namaste, fam. Y'all are dope forever, ever, and ever. Stay blessed. Stay black. Get your ass outside.
Peace. Bye. Yeah. Bye, guys.